You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee, the show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee. I am your host. And in the studio with me is Ronnie V.
Hello, hello.
And Miss Tanae.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Now, Tanae, you were telling us about something about Kanye West and Amber White. What's her name?
See, Amber Rose.
Oh, Amber Rose.
The one who has the bald head.
Okay.
Referred to as Lemonhead.
Is that what they call a Lemonhead?
That's what her boo calls her.
Who's her boo now?
Wiz Khalifa.
They're back together now.
Well, according to Instagram, they took a picture together, and she was in the background, and he referred to it as, "Look at my Lemonhead." So anyway, she just had a walk, not like a little marathon, but a slut walk.
She had a slut walk.
Now, a slut walk for her is how women are getting raped and sexually abused in relationships and outside of relationships. So she decided to have a slut walk and one of her posters had said, "F your 30 showers." Now, that was when Kanye West was dating Kim Kardashian, and he allegedly said, "In order for me to touch Kim, I had to take 30 showers after being with Amber."
Okay, so what's the slut? Well, I'm still confused about the slut walk.
It's about raising awareness with rape in women.
But why is it a slut walk?
Because women are often referred to as sluts or whores because of the
way that
they
dress. When you say walk, you mean like walk for the cure, like a walk?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought she was on stage.
Me too.
And you know, like a model. And
I thought too. I'm like,
not
what?
A dance. Yeah, no. It's a slut walk. So one of her pictures, she has a picture of like a skirt on. One is below her knees. One is like middle of her thigh. And it goes up and it says, "No matter how short my skirt is, no means no."
Okay.
I've never heard about that one.
Yeah, it's all on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't normally follow Kanye West or anything he says,
neither.
So I wouldn't have known this. But listen, we've got a great show for you today. Did any of you guys see the OJ special last week?
I didn't. I missed it.
So 2020 had a special the week before, and last week A&E had a special as well. Now, I caught both of them. And, I mean, everybody knows about the OJ trial. There really isn't anyone breathing who probably doesn't know, you know, about the OJ Simpson trial.
Yeah.
And I've told you guys this before. I remember the verdict. I was working in D.C. and we all went assembled in the conference room for the verdict. And I told you about when they said not guilty, like, the room was divided. It was like the black people were like, "Yay!" And the white people were like,
"No."
What it kind of did was it demonstrated how the nation was really divided on that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, more white people were saying he's a murderer, you know, and more black people, you know, were saying, you know, free OJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tell you that personally, I never thought that he actually did it himself. Mm-hmm. Like, I always thought that he had it done.
I did too.
And I always thought that he was there. But I just, you know, with all the evidence that I remember seeing anyway, I just was thinking, you know, I just don't think that he did it, you know.
You thought he was there?
Oh, yeah. I always
like
thought he
there,
was there.
Why it
like,
was happening.
Yes. I always thought, because they always said it was two people. Had to be two people that did it. But I'm going to tell you, these two shows open my eyes.
I'm going to have to go look at that on demand.
You are going to have, I'm telling you, it opened my eyes. Things that I don't know how I guess because I didn't watch the trial every day.
Yeah.
Probably is why. But we're going to get into some evidence that really made me change my mind.
Okay.
Based on the 2020 show and the A&E show.
Okay.
And the A&E show, they finally showed when he was sued in civil court, they taped his depositions. Mm, okay. And they hid him all these years.
Wow.
And so they, A&E got them, I guess, you know, bought the rights or whatever, and showed the deposition.
And it's him. It's nothing glitching, no.
Oh, no, it's him. It's him.
Tampered with.
No, it's him. It's him. So let's set up the scene of this horrible, horrible incident. At 12:10 a.m. on June 13th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were found murdered outside Brown's Bundy Drive condo in the Brentwood area of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Evidence found and collected at the scene led police to suspect that O.J. Simpson was the murderer. Okay. Brown had been stabbed multiple times in the head, in the neck, and she had defensive wounds on her hand. So she fought off her attacker. The wound through her neck was gaping, through which they could see her larynx. Oh, so her throat was literally, like they said that her, she was almost decapitated.
Wow.
On this. Now I'm, you know, I guess me being so young, maybe back then I didn't really, you know, kind of pay attention to it. Yeah. Ronald Goldman suffered multiple stab wounds to the chest, abdomen, and his left eye. So the trial started on November 2nd, 1994, and of course we all know it ended in a not guilty verdict on October 3rd, 1995. So that's less than a year. Mm-hmm. This trial was 11 months. And I just, I remember, you know, all of this coverage. I don't even, were you born, Tanae? You had to be about one or two.
Yes, I was born.
Well, then you had to be a baby during this.
And I was the cutest baby.
Okay. Let's talk about the defense team. So, you know, now his defense is said to have cost between $3 and $6 million for his defense. I mean, you know, he's on trial for murder.
Yeah.
He had a slew of high powered attorneys. It was led by Robert Shapiro. I remember Robert Shapiro, like some of the other celebrities, use him a lot. Johnny Cochran.
Oh.
F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, and Robert Kardashian. Now, you remember Robert Kardashian?
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian's father was on OJ's defense team. Now, you do know that Robert and Chris were best friends to OJ and Nicole.
Yeah.
Oh.
And during the murder, after the murder happened, Chris, in loyalty to Nicole, stopped speaking to OJ. And it was said that it caused tension in the house because Robert was defending OJ. Mm-hmm. And it was said to be one of the reasons why the marriage kind of, you know, went sour. Mm-hmm. But, you know. So the prosecution team, Marcia Clark, you remember her? She was the DA. Mm-hmm. Chris Darden, the black guy. He was the assistant DA, and Lance Ito was the presiding judge. Okay. Now, OJ was charged with 2 counts of murder in the first degree. That's what he was charged with. You know, Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. What struck me odd about OJ's defense, first of all, I only named the high-powered attorneys. Mm-hmm. There were like 4 other attorneys that were on that team. Mm-hmm. And I always thought to myself, like, why do you feel that you needed that many attorneys, you know, to defend you?
Well, you know, you facing 2 counts of murder charges. I probably would have had double the amount too. You know,
and he had the money.
Just because, like, regardless if, like, no evidence pointed to him, you're the suspect,
right?
Point blank, bottom line, right.
And
you know,
you're famous
so
too.
Right. I mean, even if he was 1,000% innocent, I would have went about it the same way.
I think he had like 10. Like 10. No wonder it cost $3 to $6 million for his defense. Yeah. Because, I mean, 10 attorneys is a lot.
How much did you put a price on freedom?
That's true. Mm. That's true. I don't know. I, I always thought, you know, when initially, you know, when I, you know, when the case was going to trial, I was like, good Lord, why does one man have, you know, all of those attorneys? Mm-hmm. And I mean, Johnny Cochran and Robert Kardashian to me would have been powerful enough, you know, to, I feel, defend him.
Yeah.
But I guess, like you said, you know, what's the price of, you know, freedom?
Exactly.
So I did a little background on OJ. So let's set this up. So okay, I did some background. Here we go. OJ, born in San Francisco, California. In 1967, he enrolls in USC, which is the University of Southern California. This is what a lot of people don't know. He was married before.
What?
In 1967, he married Marguerite Whitley.
Isn't she glad?
Well, see, we'll get into that. In 1968, he wins the Heisman Trophy. Heisman Trophy is this college. It goes to like the outstanding college athlete. In 1969, he joins the Buffalo Bills. So he goes into the NFL in 1969. Mm-hmm. In 77, he meets Nicole Brown Simpson.
So he's still married. I haven't heard you say anything about a divorce.
Still married.
Okay,
still
just married. Checking. I'm trying to follow.
He is still married, and he meets Nicole Brown Simpson. Okay. In 78, he divorces Marguerite.
Which was what ethnic background?
She was black.
Okay, okay.
Marguerite is black.
Okay.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh.
What was I going to say? Yes, so a year after he meets Nicole, he divorces Marguerite.
Okay. So that means he was dating
her. See, here's my question. Were they together? You know, was he cheating?
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Well, if you're not divorced legally, you're cheating.
Separate.
I don't
separate
care
houses.
How long you're separated or whatever. You're cheating.
That is true.
Okay.
That is true.
Legally, he's cheating.
Okay. That is true. In 1978, he is traded to the San Francisco 49ers. So Buffalo Bills is in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So now he comes back to L.A.
Okay.
Well, San Francisco, I guess. So now he's back kind of near Nicole now.
Mm-hmm.
Brown and Simpson were married on February 2nd, 1985, 5 years after his retirement from professional football. They have two children, Sydney Brooke Simpson and Justin Ryan Simpson.
Okay.
All throughout their marriage, it is said that he physically abused her. Now, when I was listening to the show, when I was watching the show, I can't remember if it was the 2020 show or the A&E show. Nicole says that he actually started beating her months after they were married.
Mm.
Which, you know, kind of surprised me.
Months after being
married?
That's
what she said. Which I kind of, you know what? And see, I've always said this. I don't think somebody just up and starts abuse.
Yeah.
It's gradual steps towards
it. I think it starts verbal. And then I think that if you're passive and you kind of let that go and you stay, I think then it kind of moves
to
on
the next step,
exactly
yeah.
to physical abuse. And, you know, I just always wonder about why do women stay in these kinds of relationships? I get it. He's rich. He's handsome. You know, he's famous. So I get it. You know, she's kind of in that circle because Robert Kardashian is famous. I think Robert, wasn't he like a entertainment lawyer, I think? I think he was. I think he definitely yeah. started like an entertainment company.
Because yeah.
remember, Kim used to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she got to know, you know, a lot of famous people.
And other reasons.
Whatever do you mean?
Tanae.
Whatever do you mean about and for other reasons?
I mean, there's other ways to network. I'm just saying she networked more than one way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We will be right back with OJ Revisited. We are back. We are talking today about OJ Revisited. Now, before we went on break, I was getting just like a little background about OJ Simpson. And I had said that throughout their marriage, it is said that he physically abused her. And Nicole actually had told family and friends that it started like only a couple of months after they got married. Mm-hmm. While she stayed, I don't know.
How long were they actually married? I just want to know how long the taps, you know.
I think I have it down in the
notes somewhere. I don't stop jumping. Okay.
Several times she had to call the police on him, and she was photographed with multiple bruises on her body. They played a chilling tape, and she says on the tape, I need an officer to come. She gives something. She gives the address. Mm-hmm. And you know, she said something about, you know, it's my husband. And they said, well, who's your husband? Mm-hmm. And she says, it's O.J. Simpson. It's O.J. Simpson. And she literally said, he is going to beat the S out of me.
So he hadn't got to her yet.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she ran from him or something. Mm-hmm. And she literally, I mean, they played the tape. And she literally said, if y'all don't get here, he's going to beat the S-H-I-T out of me.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Sugar, honey, iced tea. He was arrested for spousal abuse in 1989. In 1992... he files for a divorce from Brown. So they were married from 85 to 92.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing that really gets me.
Hold on. He filed for a divorce.
That's my point.
Okay.
So she did not file for a divorce. He filed for a divorce, which to me just doesn't add up to killing.
She didn't want to lose that status. She didn't want to leave because she had opportunities to leave. But for him to foul and not her, yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that odd to me?
I can see if she was leaving him. That's
my point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's my point. I could see if he was obsessed with her. You're mine. Nobody is going to have you if I can't, you know. And then, you know, he goes and he does the deed.
Yeah.
You know, it's never, of course, okay to murder someone. But I'm just saying, it just doesn't. And I'm wondering if this is the same thing the jury was thinking mm-hmm. as well. He filed for divorce, not her.
Yeah.
But then again, I do know some
stuff
people that's
covered
like,
up.
Well, but here's the thing. Some people think, I don't want you, but I don't want you to be happy and nobody else have you.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
So that might be, you know, and, you know, on the flip side of that, that's kind of what I'm thinking to myself. Maybe he sort of had a mindset like that.
We can only look at evidence only.
That's true. And you know, I'm just thinking that, okay, that's probably what the jury was, you know, taking into consideration. Just doesn't make sense. If he filed for divorce wanting not, you know, to be married to her, why would he then go kill her?
That doesn't make sense. But then again, you can think like, who would think that I would be the killer if I'm the one who's leaving? Mm-hmm. You never mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Somebody with a twisted mind can think like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's set up the prosecution's case. Here is what the prosecution said happened. Even with no murder weapon, so they never ever found a murder weapon. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. and no witnesses to the murders, the prosecution felt they had a very strong case. Mm-hmm. Supported by DNA evidence, and this is the thing that got me, they fully expected a conviction. From the physical evidence collected, the prosecution claimed that Simpson drove to Nicole Brown's house on the evening of June 12th with the intention of killing her. How they know that? How they know what was on his mind?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Speculation.
Right. They maintained that Nicole, after putting her two children to bed and while getting ready to go to bed herself, opened the front door to her house after either responding to a knock on the front door or after hearing a noise outside, where Simpson grabbed her before she could scream and attacked her with a knife. So they're saying he probably knocked on the door. She opens it.
Expecting it to be who?
Or whatever. Well, see, I'm getting to that.
I feel like I'm in a courtroom. Objection!
And so he grabs her and then, you know, murders her. Okay.
But the kids were there.
They were in the bed.
Okay.
Kids were there. She's getting murdered. She's screaming. Where's the guy?
But they say here before she had time to scream because no neighbors heard anything.
Okay. So she has infliction where obviously she's fighting back. Mm-hmm. No one can hear her. So
thinking,
you have to block her hands and cover her mouth.
Think about it. If you slit somebody's throat, you can't scream.
Yeah, because the blood.
You can still kind of, you know, scramble. But if your throat is slit, how are you going to scream? See, this is what the prosecution is saying. Forensic evidence from the Los Angeles County coroner suggested that Ron Goldman arrived at the front gate to the townhouse sometime during the assault.
Oh, so he wasn't even present in the house when it happened.
He was not. He arrives, they're saying, during the assault, where the assailant apparently attacked him and stabbed him repeatedly in the neck and chest with one hand while restraining him with an arm choke. So it's like here and just stabbing, you know, in the front. So that's how they're saying. So she's already throat slit and lying, you know, on the ground bleeding out. Ron comes up, so they grab him.
So think about it. If they grabbed him from the back, that means they had to come from the back, which meaning they're not at the door anymore.
Right.
To be able to grab him from behind.
Correct.
So that's why.
Or whatever point they grabbed him at. See, that's why I'm saying. That's why I've always thought it was two people.
Okay. Because I'm picturing. I'm.
Yeah. So, did she call him to come up? Was he expected?
I'm getting to that. Hold on. Okay. According to the prosecution's account, as Nicole Brown was found lying face down, the assailant, after finishing with Goldman, pulled her head back using her hair, put his foot on her back, and slit her throat with the knife, severing her carotid artery.
Speculation.
That's my point. I'm thinking, how do y'all know all that? How do y'all know?
They didn't create a whole scene.
You wonder why the jury found not guilty.
They need to get the girl from How to Get Away with Murder.
They then argued that Simpson left a trail of blood from the condo to the alley behind it. There was also testimony that three drops of Simpson's blood were found on the driveway near the gate to his house on Rockingham Drive.
Meaning O.J. Simpson?
Nicole. How did Nicole's blood get to his house? See, this is what messed me up.
They found three drops of her Nicole's blood
at OJ's house.
In his driveway. I don't believe that. Because if that was the case.
It is true because they photographed it.
Okay, so just think about this then. If that was the case.
Yeah.
It's nothing to talk about. Obviously she's there or however the blood got there, it's in your driveway.
Then the prosecution turned to the events of the evening of June 12th, 1994, where Karen Lee Crawford, who was the manager of the Mezzaluna restaurant where Nicole ate that Sunday night, was called to testify, where she recounted that Mrs. Simpson's mother phoned the restaurant at 9:37 p.m. about her lost glasses.
I'm lost.
And how, hold on, and how Miss Crawford found them, put them in a white envelope, and waiter Ron Goldman went to the house to return.
He was a waiter?
The mother's glasses. That's why he was there. The mother, they were out eating that night earlier. She left her glasses in the restaurant, Nicole's mother. She calls and said, "Oh, I left my glasses." The manager says, "Yes, you did." So then she says, "Well, Ron is bringing them over. You know, they're rich. You know, people do things for rich people."
I'm thinking that he was a lover of something.
Me too.
See? This is what I'm telling you. This is what blew my mind.
So this whole time, she was not, this is not somebody she was sleeping with.
No. Apparently not. She only met him that night, and he was returning her mother's glasses.
So the glasses was there somewhere.
The glasses was at the restaurant. Yeah. Well, hold on. So she put them in a white envelope, and Ron Goldman departed from the restaurant after his shift was over to drop them off at Nicole's house at 9:50. So that's how he was there. Innocent bystander.
So he just got caught in the crossfire.
In the wrong place at the wrong time.
Over some glasses.
Over some glasses. He don't even know anything about all of this history and all of this stuff going on between them.
That's
all
crazy.
He knows is that his manager says, "Can you please go by Nicole Brown's Simpson's house and drop these glasses off?"
It would have been a nerve.
But he doesn't. Why? But he doesn't know.
Why? What would make him say no? And then the fact of you dropping them off to her house, like, you know, you, oh, they pick me. I'm gonna be there, and you know, you just.
This is OJ's wife. OJ's famous. I mean, you know, he was probably just doing it because his manager, and again, rich people, they get treatment like that. Now, if it was me or you,
glasses would have been.
She'd have said, "Oh, okay, well, you can come and pick them up." But you know, they'll be here. They'll be here when you get here. So, you know, I don't know. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us. We are talking about the OJ Simpson trial. Back in a moment. We are back. Thank you for coming back with us. We're talking today about the OJ Simpson trial. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been joined in the studio by none other than Miss Nene.
Nene.
Welcome, Miss Nene, to the show. She's a little late.
Yeah, she's a little late.
But she's here now.
She had to pick up the grandbaby.
Exactly. So, before we went to break, I told you guys about the prosecution's case.
Okay.
You know, I gave you what they're saying happened. Now let's talk about the defense's case.
Okay.
Simpson's initial claim that he was asleep at the time of the murders was replaced by a series of different stories. So he had, like, every time he told the story, he had a different story.
Okay.
According to the defense lawyer, Johnny Cochran, Simpson had never left his house that night, and that he was alone in his house packing to travel to Chicago. Later, the defense tried to claim that Simpson could not be physically capable of carrying out the murders, for Ron Goldman was a fit young man who put up a fierce struggle against his assailant.
Who knew that?
Ron Goldman was kind of fit. He was a young guy, and he was kind of fit.
But he didn't expect to get stabbed
getting off of work.
Well, what they're saying is that, you know,
when fear kicks in,
well, that's
you true. Don't know. You know what I'm saying? Then you're going to return a pair of glasses. It ain't like you went in the hood to deliver something and you got your guard up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why the hood, so, Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm just relaxed.
Because
she didn't live in the hood now.
Exactly. That's
she
what
lived
I'm
in
saying.
Brentwood.
He had no reason, number one, to have his guard up, to suspect anything.
That's true.
To be in a fighting position.
That is true.
I don't know about you guys, but I get off every day at 2 p.m. At 12:51, I'm ready to go. I'm tired. So when I get off work, I just have no energy. Yeah.
And you're tired. So to be physically ready to battle,
I would say you guys.
But I will tell you this. You might be tired, but to save your life, you're going to muster the strength from somewhere.
You're probably in shock. True.
But if somebody grabbed you from behind, they already had the advantage over you, number one. What can you do?
I don't know.
Fear kicks in when it's coming to you. Like,
that's what
if
I
you
would
see
do.
It, then your adrenaline pumps because, like, okay, I got to try to get out of this.
Right.
Probably
but
in shock.
Right.
Well.
Okay. O.J. Simpson was a 46-year-old former football player with chronic arthritis.
What was the arthritis?
Which had left him with scars on his knees from old football injuries. Now, as I'm telling the story, now can you understand what the jury's mindset is? So now they've already put this in the jury's mind now. Ron Goldman, fit, OJ, chronic arthritis, scarred knees.
What they got? They ain't fall down on his knees.
Well, what they're saying is that how could he have overpowered this young man?
What did your knees got to do with your hands?
But here's the thing. This is why I've always thought it was two people. O.J. Simpson's defense had sought to show that one or more hitmen hired by drug dealers had murdered Brown and Goldman, giving both Colombian necklaces because they were looking for Brown's friend, Faye Resnick, a known cocaine user who had failed to pay for her drugs.
They just threw that in there.
So this is what they're saying. They're saying that the two were killed by drug dealers.
He was returning some glasses that he knew nothing about previous. You know, didn't know she was going to leave the glasses. Didn't know he was going to be the one to be picked to return the glasses. So that doesn't add up. What, were they following him? You know, in that case. And if they was following him, what they got to do with her opening the door getting sliced up?
The thing about it is she knew who it was. You just don't open the door.
See, that's the thing. She knew who her assailant was.
We do.
No, we don't.
I do not.
No, we do not.
But now sounds like it's him. When somebody knock on your door, I have not yet to hear you say, who is it?
Yes, I
do. Are you crazy? I look through my peephole.
What strangers come here?
First of
all,
what
strangers?
I can vouch for
it. Could be anybody that's come here.
I have rung the doorbell and I've heard TV and no one comes.
that's only because they're upstairs. Yeah. Sometimes they say they don't hear it.
I got to make every phone call.
But for the most part, you know, when you're not used to just people popping up, and if somebody do come to your door, you're expecting someone. You know, like, people don't pop up at my house.
Right.
So if my doorbell ring is...
You're thinking, you know it's somebody
it's my
you
mom
know.
Or my sister.
But what if it's not?
Exactly.
See, that's the point.
Well, somebody knocking on my door at 9:37, knowing my bedtime is 9, then that's a problem.
See, I'm telling you, she had to recognize the person to open the door. I don't think anyone...
I don't see her just open the door for OJ.
I do. Because remember, he was trying to divorce her.
His kids are there.
Think about it.
Uh-huh. His kids
he
are there.
He comes rings the doorbell. And like you said, you're not coming to the hood. Cameras, everything. He's bold enough to come ring the doorbell.
He's arrogant.
Allow her to open the door to have her killed. It doesn't make any sense.
This whole thing doesn't make really much sense to me.
Now,
but
you know what? With him breaking in somebody's house trying to get his...
We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about the white Bronco chase. Now, y'all remember the white Bronco chase, right? When he was driving down the freeway in the white Bronco. Okay. Lawyers convinced the LAPD to allow Simpson to turn himself in at 11 a.m. on June 17th, 1994. even though the double murder charge meant no bail and a possible death penalty verdict if convicted. So, you know, money had to do with that.
Of course.
Because if it was me, I'd have been under in jail under a $5 million bond.
Exactly.
Over 1,000 reporters waited for Simpson at the police station, but he failed to appear. So he was supposed to turn himself in, and everybody was waiting, but he didn't show up.
So they tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay.
At 2 p.m., the Los Angeles Police Department issued an all-points bulletin. At 5 p.m., Robert Kardashian, a friend of Simpson and one of his defense lawyers, read a letter by Simpson to the media. In the letter, Simpson sent greetings to 24 friends and wrote, "First, everyone must understand that I had nothing to do with Nicole's murder. Don't feel sorry for me. I've had a great life." What does that sound like?
He disappeared.
It sounds like a suicide note. That's what it was. It was suicide. Now, if you're so innocent, first of all, why are you running?
Because
and why are you filling out a suicide note?
It just pointed to him regardless. That's just like if I'm in a relationship, right? And I have a report for beating my husband. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he comes up dead. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the suspect.
Yeah.
The spouse really is always the suspect.
You know what I'm saying?
But you don't have anything to worry about if you didn't do it.
Murder? Are you serious? You don't have to have, it doesn't have to be facts or evidence nowadays to get convicted.
Well, that's true.
And once you're convicted, do you know how long it takes for an appeal?
That's true.
To even make sure you don't get to that point, I'd have been scared too. Even if he was out of the
country.
Sure
he was scared.
If he was out of the country, he still had reasons to be worried.
So you're saying that he's running because he knows that he's going to be a suspect.
Exactly. Regardless of where the evidence
pointed. This is what he said. And this is what he said.
It makes sense.
At 6:20 p.m., a motorist in Orange County saw Simpson riding in his white Ford Bronco driven by his friend Al Collins and notified police. So they saw him on the freeway and called police.
So that's where the chase began.
The police then tracked calls placed from Simpson on his cellular telephone. At 6:45 p.m., a police officer saw the Bronco going north on Interstate 405. When the officer approached the Bronco with sirens blaring, Collins yelled that Simpson was in the back seat of the vehicle and had a gun to his own head. The officer backed off but followed the vehicle at 35 miles per hour with up to 20 police cars participating in the chase.
For how long?
It didn't say. Didn't say how long.
It was a fairly long time.
It was.
I mean, they
went a while on 405, the 405. So here is the evidence. See, this is the thing that gets me. Here's the evidence against Simpson. And this is some of the stuff that I just did not know. DNA analysis of blood found on a pair of Simpson socks found in his bedroom was identified as Nicole Brown's. Both socks had about 20 stains of blood. What is Nicole's blood doing on your socks?
First of all,
previous beatings.
Hold on. Okay, so what about the driveway? They're in your driveway. Then they're on your socks. Who keeps bloody socks?
Arrogant people. DNA analysis of the blood found in and on and near Simpson's Bronco revealed traces of Simpson, Brown's, and Goldman's blood. Why is Simpson and Goldman's blood near your Bronco?
It's not processing in my head why the evidence was presented. And just thrown
I'm going
to
tell you why.
$6 million.
I'm going to tell you why. DNA analysis of blood on the left-hand glove. Remember the glove?
Yeah.
If it don't fit, you must acquit. Found outside of Brown's home was proven to be a mixture of Simpson's, Brown's, and Goldman's blood on the glove. How is that possible?
He only got off because of the glove. It didn't
How is that possible? The left-hand glove found at Nicole's home and the right-hand glove found at Simpson's home proved to be a match. So that glove, those gloves, one found at Nicole, one found at OJ's house.
I don't understand.
Maybe they thought it was just too much he brought of a coincidence.
He brought the gloves. It's the only reason. That's the only reason that we have is that he brought the gloves. Okay. A bloody footprint. Remember the footprint at the scene, and it was discovered that it had been made by a very expensive pair of Bruno Mali shoes, size 12, which is OJ size. Now, here's the thing about this. When you look at the tapes that I was telling you about, OJ is on the tape saying, I wouldn't be caught dead in those ugly shoes. I didn't buy those ugly shoes. Those shoes are ugly. I'd never wear them.
Nicole probably bought them for him.
Well, here's the thing. So, what they did was they went back and they found old photographs of OJ. Guess what he was wearing?
Them ugly shoes.
Them ugly age shoes that he said he would have never worn. And they asked him about that in the deposition. And guess what he says? Well, it looks like me, but I don't remember these shoes. How do you not remember shoes that you are wearing?
And that are so ugly.
Exactly.
That's what gave him away, the old shoes he would say exactly. Nobody thought he would wear them.
Exactly. How do you, how in the world are you, here it is right here.
I'm baffled. Eric Lee, I am so baffled.
This they is have what I'm telling you.
DNA. They have one glove at one scene, another glove at his house. They have blood droppings on his sock. And the shoes.
The bloody footprint in Nicole and Ron's blood.
With the same shoe pattern as the shoes.
With the same shoe pattern. And they when they did the analysis, they found out it was a Bruno Mali shoe. OJ. So he got rid of the shoe. Apparently he got rid of the shoe.
Let me ask you this. Once you're convicted of something and you're found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be retried.
Double Jeopardy. No. You cannot Double be Jeopardy. Retried.
I love that movie.
You cannot be retried.
Of something different?
Different, yeah.
A different charge.
But you can't be charged with this murder of this person.
That's why his charges now are so extensive. Because.
But I just thought that was just so wild.
Money.
You sitting up here saying, you know, oh, I don't wear them shoes. And then they find evidence.
Everything points to him and he still got off. That's crazy.
Well, I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. We will be right back in just a moment. Do not touch that dial. We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. We're talking today about O.J. Simpson. So everybody is trying to figure out, with all of this evidence that has been that was presented against O.J., all of this blood, all of this, because, you know, it just doesn't make any sense that, you know, Ron Brown's blood, Nicole's blood, all of that is at OJ's houses. Yes. Ron has never been to OJ's house. So how did Ron's blood get in the Bronco? How did it get in OJ's driveway?
And socks. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's why I've always thought that OJ was there.
Oh, he was mm-hmm. there.
Now I think
he did it.
That he did it.
Has it in your socks? Even if you're there, has it in your socks? Because you holding him from
precisely,
the back.
And when you're stabbing, the blood is going everywhere,
exactly.
And that's how it gets in your socks.
Or you're holding him while the other person stabbing him. Either way, you're there.
Or when the person allegedly put their foot on her back.
That's what the prosecution was trying to say.
Whose foot was it? The shoe that was on her back?
Well, they didn't have a footprint on the back, but they're saying that they had to have right. Yeah, so. Here is
should have been an indention or something.
Here is what went wry. Now, remember Mark Furman?
Okay.
Do you remember Mark Furman? Uh-huh. Mark Furman was one of the detectives assigned to the case. He was proven to be a racist. The prosecution told the jury in closing arguments that Furman was indeed a racist, but said that this should not detract from the evidence showing Simpson's guilt. Furman's testimony resulted in his indictment, because remember, he perjured himself on stand.
Mm-hmm.
He was indicted on one count of perjury, to which he later pleaded no contest. So, here's what they're saying. He planted it all. He was a racist. He did not like OJ because he was black. And he did not like OJ because he was married to a what?
White woman.
A white woman. So they're saying that he planted. All the jury needs, all the defense needs is what? Reasonable doubt.
Exactly. It's about facts. It doesn't matter about nothing
else. Exactly. That's all they need to prove is reasonable doubt.
That's right.
You know, honestly, after hearing all this, what still sticks in my head is that he is supposed to be old with scars on his knees. And that other guy, the waiter, is fit. That's all I'm thinking. The fit waiter. It don't matter.
But if you think about it, now. Someone with chronic arthritis, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have chronic arthritis, you're limited on what you can do. Here's somebody who's what was Ron Goldman? 24, 25, something like that. OJ was what, 49? With chronic arthritis. So you see what I'm saying? They presented reasonable doubt.
It don't matter. He was there.
I've always thought he was there.
Yeah.
I have always thought that OJ was there, but I never thought that he did it. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, let's get OJ on the phone and ask him.
Well, we can't get OJ on the phone. So let's talk about this civil trial. So you know he was found not guilty in the criminal trial.
Mm-hmm.
So the Goldman family and the Brown family thought, we got to get this man somehow. We got to do something. He just can't go, you know, unscathed. So they thought, we're going to sue him in civil court. We lost in criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to sue him in civil. In 1997, the parents of Ron Goldman, Fred Goldman, and Sharon Ruffo brought suit against Simpson for wrongful death.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown's estate, represented by her father, Lou Brown, brought suit against Simpson in a survivor suit. In a trial that took place over 4 months in Santa Monica and was not televised by the judge's order. So the criminal trial was televised.
Mm-hmm.
Civil trial was not.
Okay.
The Goldman family was represented by Daniel Petricelli, with Simpson represented by Bob Baker. Simpson's defense in the trial was estimated to cost $1 million and was paid for by an insurance policy on his company, Orenthal Enterprises. The jury in the civil trial awarded Brown and Simpson's children, Sidney and Justin, $12.6 million from their father as recipients of their mother's estate. The victim's family was awarded a total, Goldman and Brown, $33.5 million in compensatory and punitive damages. So they couldn't get him in criminal court.
Criminal.
So they said, we got to do something. So they sued him in civil court.
And won.
$33.5 million. But here's the thing.
Mm.
They never saw a cent of the money.
They won and never seen anything.
Guess what OJ apparently did?
File for bankruptcy.
Hid his money. Let's fast forward to present day. Well, not present day, but a few years earlier. He's arrested now. He's in jail now, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is he in jail for?
Breaking and entering.
And kidnapping.
Who he kidnapped?
He kidnapped the guy. They held him hostage. He was in Vegas. You know, they have these memorabilia, you know, things in Vegas. OJ's stuff is you know, worth some money.
Mm-hmm.
So they apparently OJ says that they broke into his room, stole his stuff. He went to go get it back.
This sounds familiar.
And so, well, this is why he's in jail now. And so, but and here and they show the lawyer on the A&E. What was it, the 2020? One of the two. And this is what she says. I know why you did it. She said you did it so that you did not have to pay the Simpsons or the Goldman. I'm not the Simpsons. The Browns or the Goldmans any money. So what she's saying is basically is you did all this. You went through all of this stuff to keep it hidden that you still had these items that were worth millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it so that you didn't have to pay in the civil suit. So she threw his behind in jail. I don't think OJ is getting out of jail. I honestly and truly do not think
for breaking and entering. Breaking
and entering and kidnapping. Because they broke into the room and then they held the guy hostage who they thought did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was ever
proven. So what is he facing right now?
He ain't facing nothing. He in prison now.
I mean, what was the
time? And I think he got, I think he got like 30 years. OJ is already like 60 something years old.
They was gonna get him for,
they were already waiting for him to mess up. And see, this is what I'm talking about, even with George Zimmerman.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
You got away with murder. Get somewhere and sit down.
Yeah. Crazy.
I'm telling you, this case, these two shows blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. And that's why I had to talk about this on this episode, because I just... And OJ pretty much stayed out of the limelight. You know, he still did his golfing and things, but he pretty much stayed out of trouble, unlike Zimmerman.
Just on everything.
Right, who stayed in trouble. And did you hear the latest about him posting on Facebook? What's his name? Oh, Lord, what's the victim's name he
Trayvon.
Killed? Trayvon's body. And he says, "This is, well, you know what happened to the last guy that crossed me."
I don't believe it.
Yeah, he did. It is a known fact that he did. Zimmerman has been laughing at us ever since, you know, he got off.
Wait, isn't Zimmerman Hispanic?
He is Hispanic.
I don't understand. I almost think I'm being a racist, but I don't understand.
Why?
You are Hispanic. Yes, you are one of us.
But he is not one of us.
Minority?
Yes, he might be a minority, yes. But he's not black. So... A minority can be prejudiced against another minority.
I don't understand. I just don't get it.
You would think I'm a minority, you're a minority. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
And he posted pictures and said, you know what happened?
Posted of Trayvon lying dead and said, some guy made some statement about Zimmerman is the man or something like that. And he said, yeah, you know what happened. And some guy went after Zimmerman on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and said something like, you know, oh, well, you got away with murder, you're a murderer or something, and I'll do something to you. And he posted, this is what happened to the last guy that crossed me.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? He has been basically laughing in our faces.
Yeah, so you can be anything but black and do anything you want.
And his father's a judge. Remember, his father's a judge. So I don't know. So this OJ thing, I'm telling you guys, it opened my eyes.
Mind blowing.
To a whole lot of things. I don't know if I didn't pay attention to it before.
I'm going to go look at it. I'm going
you
to look
really
at
do
it.
Have to go look at this because it opens your eyes to so many things. Well, that's our show. We want to thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time. Bye for now.